We thank you, God, for your angelic hosts in this sanctuary tonight. We thank you, Father God, for everything you've done thus far and all that you're going to do the rest of the night. Each one who came out tonight, Father God, they just made special time to come and sit at your table. And I'm asking you, Father God, to feed them fresh manna from heaven. Do not let them go leave here empty, but fill them to overflowing, Father. Let your anointing just cover each and every one of us tonight in a more powerful way than it was this morning. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you remember what you were taught this morning. You're going to be what? Warriors. With what? Confidence. You'll be confident warriors that you'll be able to go forth and God is with you and you can do anything and everything he's calling you forth to do. Amen. Tonight, I want to talk about digging wells in the Valley of Baca. Life is a journey through the Valley of Baca. Valley of Tears is what that means. On our journey to the safety of the city of refuge. Life is a journey through the Valley of Tears. On our journey to the safety of the city of refuge. If we will learn to dig a well in every adversity, God's refreshing will come. If we will learn to dig a well in every adversity, God's refreshing will come. Psalm 84, 5 and 6, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, the rain also filleth pools. Read that again, Psalm 84, 5 and 6. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in God, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, the valley of tears, make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. To begin with, let us establish the fact that we are strangers and pilgrims in a dry and thirsty land. This world is not the home of those that love the Lord. This is not your home, you're just passing through. We are traveling to our final destination, heaven, which is heaven, where the tabernacle or house of God is found. Heaven is our promised land, and we are bound to this eternal home. Heaven is our promised land, and we are bound to this eternal home. In the book of Judges, chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, we read of the account of Israel as they are led into the land that God had promised to Abraham for many years. It seemed that Israel would never really experience the promise of the covenant that God had made with them. Their journey from the time of the promise to Abraham to the time when they crossed over the Jordan River on dry land to enter Canaan had been filled with both good times and bad times, victories and defeats, successes and failures. See, and the body of Christ doesn't want to hear that. Amen. God gave me a promise. Go there. Right? Now, at last, they were ready to enjoy the great promises of God. God has made a covenant with those who call themselves Christians. God has made a covenant with each and every one of us here tonight. And who are living in obedience to his word. To those who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and have had the blood of the Lamb applied to their heart. He's made a covenant with those. To each of us is a promise that Jesus spoke of in John 14, 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So Jesus already went before you and he already has your mansion prepared for you in heaven. Amen. So if you don't get it here on earth, you're going to get it in heaven. Amen. Then I hope whenever if I get my mansion, what I really want, I get it up there whenever God brings us back to restart the earth, I want to bring my mansion with me. Amen. Come on. Even though Israel was God's chosen nation, his earthly wife in the spiritual sense, Israel was God's earthly wife in a spiritual sense, they still had to go through a journey filled with troubles, trials, tests, battles, and enemies in order to claim their promise. They still had to go through a journey filled with troubles, trials, tests, battles, and enemies in order to claim their promise. The Valley of Baca, also called the Valley of Boshen in Judges, was the only passageway into the high hills where Israel's cities of refuge were located. Now, a weary traveler searching for safety from those who were pursuing him because of an accidental death or some inadvertent sin that he had committed would have to travel this valley to find refuge and safety in the house of God or the cities of refuge. He had to go through all this trouble in that valley to get where he was at the refuge. The Valley of Baca was part of the desert country. The valley was filled with thorns, wild animals, pitfalls, vipers, and all sorts of danger. Now think about your own walk with God right now while you're listening to this, all right? In addition, there were wells of water, but they were often far apart and hard to get to. It was nearly impossible to travel this valley without facing extreme hardship and suffering. That is why the Valley of Baca was named, because it literally means Valley of Tears. So I don't know why everybody thinks that you can sail through this life with Jesus, because the whole word tells us you can't. You can read about the Valley of Baca in your Bible. It's there. It tells you exactly what it's all about. And you will suffer. You will have bad things are going to happen to you. Good things are going to happen to you. But God is with you through it all, like we learned this morning, right? Every one of us is traveling through the Valley of Baca right now. If you are looking toward heaven and longing to be with Jesus, then your life is just one long journey through a valley filled with suffering and tears. Surely God has placed in your path some wells to draw from. All right? Without those wells of water, those times of refreshing that come from the Lord, none of us would make it to glory. The journey is too hard and we are too weak. Praise and worship was a well. And if you really went and got into praise and worship, you were refreshed through praise and worship. Amen. See, that was a simple song service, but it was a well. And see, we don't understand those type of spiritual things. Well, we're going to sing some songs today, and we're going to be happy, and then we're going to be quiet, and we're going to do all kind of things. No, it's a well. I'm hearing God say, a well of living water that springs up as you enter into praise and worship. All right, Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted. Why? That your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing should come from the presence of the Lord. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So if you're not in the presence of the Lord, in other words, if you're not in your secret place praying, you're not in the presence of the Lord and you're not being refreshed. And whenever you don't get refreshed, you're weary and the enemy can come and knock you off of your feet. Those who traveled this valley did not find relief until they reached their final destination. The dangers of the Valley of Baca were real and relentless, and until they finally went through the gates of the city where safety was finally found. The gate we're going to go through is heaven. And until Jesus Christ comes and takes us home, we're going to be in this valley. But we don't have to be this valley in gloom, doom, and despair. We're supposed to have the joy of the Lord, right, is our strength. And if we keep that joy, we won't mind the valley. We won't mind the trials and tribulations that come our way. It might knock us off our feet for a second, but we get back up again. Amen. What does the Bible say? A child of God falls 7 times and 7 times to get back up again. So God knows you're going to fall. He knows some days are going to be harder than you can endure. But he says you get back up again. You don't stay down there. Because if you stay down there, when the enemy's troops come through, they're going to trample you to death. Right? You have to get back up again and keep moving. None of us will go through this life without traveling the Valley of Tears. There's an old saying that goes like this: into every life some rain must fall. We've heard that all of our life, haven't we? Into every life some rain must fall. I dare say that there is not one person alive who has not felt the sting of trouble, sickness, disease, sadness, pain, or death at some point in his life. Some of you are facing terrible trials right now. Are we not? Sickness in your family or in your own body, continual pain and suffering of chronic physical problems, experiencing the pain and sorrow of the death of a loved one, troubles in your relationships with families being destroyed. The power of sin is taking its toll on those who have lived a life of rebellion against God. The power of sin is taking its toll on those who have lived a life of rebellion against God. All of these are experienced by each of us one time or another as we walk this valley of tears called life. Whether you are a Christian or not, you must walk this valley. The difference is that when you walk it as a child of God, Jesus walks it with you and he carries you through the rough places. All right, let's just stop here. You know, I was telling you about the pastor in the beginning. You know, everybody left him. Everybody that was in his ministry with him left him. Nobody stayed with him. And they, you know, they said that they thought it was a stigma to be, you know, to even be spoken of in with his name. But look what God has done with him. Look how God has brought him forth. See, they weren't seeking God's face. God said to me, don't you dare talk about this man. He's my son. You pray for him because I'm bringing him back. And I'm quite sure that pastor never dreamt any time in his life he'd ever fall like that. He wasn't expecting for the enemy to sidetrack him like that. And this man wept bitter tears even on TV while he was preaching before it was all known. And God revealed to me what was going on. So, but he said, pray for him. So are you seeing things? Are you, whenever you're watching something, is God really showing you what's in the person's heart? Is he really showing you where they're really at? And why they're saying or doing the things that they're doing? If not, then you need to go back to the well. God wants all of us to be seer prophets. He wants us all to see into the spirit realm. And he wants us to quit looking at just the surface and see what he sees behind the surface. He wants you to see that person's heart, that person's demeanor. But see, our problem in the body of Christ, we just look. And we judge what we see, and we can't do that. We have to say, God, let me, how many of you say whenever you can't understand a person, God, I evidently am looking through physical eyes. Please show me this person as you see them. And then God does. He really does. But you have to ask him to show you. Amen. The problem here is, and this is what I'm hearing, is that you don't ask him to let you see him as he, let you see them as he sees them because you want to judge them. Joy talking and putting down. That's why you don't go to the well and seek God's face about what's really behind the face. Amen. All right, I said the power of sin is taking its toll on those. Where am I at? There is a familiar. Okay. There's a familiar poem that goes like this. One night I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. And you all know this, but we're going to say it. Many scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In each scene, I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two sets of footprints. Sometimes there was only one set of footprints. This bothered me because I noticed that during the low periods of my life, when I was suffering from anguish, sorrow, or defeat, I could only see one set of footprints. So I said to the Lord, see, he sought the Lord. He went to the well. You promised me, Lord, that if I followed you, that you would walk with me always. But I noticed that during the most trying periods of my life, there was only one set of prints in the sand. Why, when I have needed you most, you have not been there for me? And the Lord replied, the times when you have seen only one set of footprints is when I carried you. See that? If this young man hadn't sought the Father's face to what this was all about, this poem would never be written. Why don't you, when you're going through bad times, why don't you seek God's face, go to the well and say, what's going on here, Father? What is my part to play in this drama that I'm walking through? And what is your part? See, we try to do all the parts. And you aren't able to do all the parts. You're too weak. You just do the part that when you go before the Father, when you go to the well and you ask him, then you only do the part that he tells you is your part and you leave the rest of it alone. The overcoming Christian must walk through the valley of Baca or tears. There is no way around it. There's no way around it. I don't know what I was typed there. My computer's messed up. You have to walk through it. There's no way around this valley. You have to walk through it. If there was a way around it, God wouldn't have started you in it. Amen. He'd let you bypass it. Those things in life that brings us pain or suffering can do one of two things. They can either break you or make you into a person. They either break you or make you into a person. And what did we hear this morning? We're being sorely tested right now. Every area of our life is being tested, put to the fire. And I know some who are in the body of Christ who are not making, they're not passing the test, they're failing them one after another. And I would be afraid if I was them, because you have not went to the well and asked God to refresh you and to give you foreknowledge of what's going on. Like one teacher said, it's not what happens, it's how you handle it that matters. It's not what happens, it's how you handle it that matters. Some of us don't handle things too well every now and then, do we? Amen. As we travel through this valley of Baca, we must learn to turn our times of sorrow and distress into wells from which we draw the waters of spiritual maturity and growth. Moses traveled the valley of tears as he fled into the wilderness, but he dug a well. He rebuilt his relationship with God and drank from the well of water that the rain of God provided and became the great leader of the children of Israel. See, if he wouldn't have done that, he wouldn't have been the leader. Abraham traveled the valley of tears as God led him to the mountaintop to sacrifice his only son upon the altar as a symbol of his faith and obedience to God. But God had a well prepared for Abraham and provided a ram for the sacrifice. Job traveled the valley of tears as Satan was allowed to strip away everything that God had blessed Job with, but Job dug a well in the desert, spiritually speaking. He never lost his relationship with the giver of all good things. Job drank from the well of the living water, and God restored to him many times more than what he had lost. I want to stop there. You know, one time I was ministering to somebody who was going through a terrible financial loss. And, you know, at one point I was financially well off. And as I was ministering to them and telling them it was going to be all right, God spoke to me and said, you're going to be in their shoes real soon. And I said, get thee behind me, Satan, because their shoes were not good. But guess what? I was in their shoes before too long, lost everything. And God still hasn't restored it, but he promised me he would. So I'm in the valley of Baca, the valley of tears. I have not left my father. And that's been a good 18 years ago he told me that. So going from riches to rags was really hard for me. It really was. A bit like Job. And God told me, you're going through a Job experience. A bit like Job. No matter what anybody said to me, I held on to God. Do you know how many times the enemy would come and tempt me? If you just leave God, I'll give you all things. But I didn't want what he had. And I know my God is able. All right? That song, What If, I sing that all the time. It just keeps going over and over and over in my mind, you know. You know, we know he's able, but what if he doesn't? It doesn't matter. He's still God. Amen. David traveled the valley of tears, and he failed God so many times, even having an illegitimate son from another man's wife and watching God take that son away from him because of his sin. But David found the well that the rain of God had filled in his life and called upon God once again to forgive and restore him. God still called David a man after God's own heart, even through all of David's failures. Why? Because David always ran to the well. He always ran to God and got refreshed, repented first, and then got refreshed and moved on. And as you read the story of David, and I've told you over and over again, David never committed a sin twice. When he committed a sin and told God he was sorry, he meant that, and he never did the same sin ever again. and see the body of Christ, says, oh, God, forgive me. And you go right back next day and do the same thing, or 2 minutes after you told God, forgive you. See, and this is why David was a man after God's own heart. Because David truly repented, and David was always at the well drinking. Are you seeing this, guys? We need to do this. We need to start digging wells in our valley of tears. We need, you know, when life throws us a curve, instead of us getting lost or confused, we need to go to the well of living waters, and we need to drink deeply of the Spirit of God and let Him bring us forth, fully filled, ready to go forth and continue to serve. We do not have the option not to do that. We just don't. Some of you have faced the valley of tears in your life as well. You have faced the death of a loved one and then turned to God in your hour of greatest need. You have drank water from the living well, and God has strengthened you and given you peace. I want to stop there. You know, when my mother died, it really sent me, you know, in a spin. And 2 years later, God spoke to me, said, daughter, are you going to die with your mother? Or are you going to quit this foolishness and serve me with all of your heart? And so I went to the well. I cried out my grief, and I stood up and said, I'm ready to go forward in full maturity in Christ. See, but it took me 2 years, and finally God said, are you going to die with your mother? So God's asking some of you in here tonight, are you going to die with your situation? Or are you going to go ahead and get, you know that my mother's in a better place. And I know she's watching me, and I know she's rejoicing. So here I am, I'm among the dead, living dead here on earth, while she's up there being totally and completely happy. Put it in God's hands. And believe me, God will see you through it. He really will. Where am I at? You have faced the sickness that Satan has come against you with, and have learned to put your trust in the great physician to make you well. You have also taken from the well of living water that rains from heaven above. Men and women in jail cells have traveled the valley of Baca and are still searching for the wells of God's water. And unless somebody goes into the prisons and ministers to these people, they'll never find those wells. I really admire these preachers who have prison ministries and go in there and minister to those people and get those souls saved. Give them a chance to meet the Maker. Our prayer is that they will soon find that well and allow Jesus to turn their lives around. Life is a journey through the valley of tears. But blessed is that one who will dig a well and learn, who will draw knowledge and get understanding, and will not allow the tears to destroy him, but will turn his face toward God and search for the lessons that God is trying to teach. Let's read that again. Life is a journey through the valley of Baca, the valley of tears. But blessed is that one who will dig a well and learn from your experience, who will draw knowledge and get understanding, who will not allow the tears to destroy him, but will turn his face toward God and search for the lessons that God is trying to teach. Every valley of Baca that you go through, God is trying to teach you something. He's trying to turn you into that strong tower that others can run into. He's trying to make you more like Jesus, so when you go out into the community, the power of God will flow out of you and lives will be saved. Miracles will start happening. Once again, I'm hearing God say, but you're going to have to endure your valley of Baca. And in that valley, you're going to have to be refreshed at the well over and over and over again. If you were in the valley right now, is that where I'm at? And there seems to be no way out. Is that where I'm at, Nancy? I want you to know that God has already prepared a well for you to be refreshed. If you're in the valley right now, and there seems to be no way out, I want you to know that God has already prepared a well for you to be refreshed. He has promised to never leave you nor forsake you, but to be with you to the end. The body of Christ doesn't believe that statement either. There is nothing too hard for God. There is nothing he cannot do. What if? Even if, isn't it? He knows how to meet your need. Blessed is that man who will pass through the valley of Baca and dig a well, that he may drink of the water that rains from heaven above. Hold on to God and have faith. He will deliver you out of that valley. In his timing, in his grace, in his way. You're not going to be able to get out of that valley until God is ready to get you out of there. The sooner you learn to quit kicking against the pricks, and the sooner you learn the lesson that God is trying to teach you, the sooner that valley experience is going to come to an end. And God is saying, I want to overflow into each and every one of your lives. I want to overflow in each and every one of your lives every second of every day. He's saying, I gave you a vision tonight of the waterfall and how my water was saturating you. Now, if you would just trust me, when you leave here this night, that water will continue to saturate you. No matter where you go, what you do, how deep the valley, my water will sustain you. The problem with the body of Christ is you don't believe what you just heard. I'm just telling you what God is saying, all right? You don't believe what you just heard. Why don't you believe? It's because the enemy has you bound in your mind, your will, and your emotions, and he's making you believe one thing when I'm trying to tell you the truth. You're going to have to disconnect from the enemy. You're going to have to make him let your mind go. And then you're going to have to pull yourself up deeper in me and come walk with me all the days of your life. I can take your hand right now and I can walk with you continually until the day that my son comes to take you home. That is a possibility, and I want to make it happen. Where are you at right now? What is binding you up? Why can't you just come to the well and drink? What is it that hinders you from coming to the well and drink? These are questions that I'm throwing out to you tonight. I want you to think on them really super hard, because if you will answer them truthfully, you will be set free. Because the well is available to you all the time. The valley will always be before you, but you don't have to go down into the valley. I can stop you from going down in there if you're at the well. If you're standing before me in all my fullness and all my glory, I can stop you from going down into that valley. I didn't say I was going to stop all the struggles in your life. I didn't say that. But I can stop you from going into the valley of tears. You can walk this journey with me without any tears. Even though the pain and the heartache comes, you will have joy unspeakable. And you will have already learned to come to the well before the trials and the tribulations hit, so that when they hit, they won't affect you. The enemy's darts will never touch you, because you already know that the well has you covered. I want to place a bubble around each one of you tonight where the enemy's darts will never ever touch you. But you have to decide, do you really want this bubble? Do you really want to be protected from the darts of the evil one? I am with you always, and sometimes I have to stand along the wayside and just watch you go down into that valley when it was not necessary. I desire that you learn from your lesson this morning to become a warrior with confidence. Remember what I said to you. I trust you, but do you trust me? See, you don't trust me yet. You can't just give yourself to me because you feel like there's just something you have to hold on to, just something that you have to have control over. But that's not the truth. It's a lie. I want all of you tonight. I want you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. I don't want just 99% of you. I want 100% of you. And as you give me 100%, even though the enemy comes, and he will come with all of his evil, it will not consume you. It will not even touch you. You will see it with your physical eyes, But it will never take you out. It will never take you under. Because you have confidence in me as your Savior. You trust me, knowing that I am well able to see you through all things. Now, if I send you to battle on the battlefield every day, how could you ever do the works I'm calling you forth to do? I do have warriors that will be on the battlefield always praying and interceding. But there's some of you sitting here tonight, I don't want to go on the battlefield. I want you to go on my field of glory and bring lost souls into my kingdom. And you can't be out there ministering to the lost souls if you're constantly fighting the war. Will you trust me in this? Will you just sell yourself out tonight? Will you just give me all that you are and all that you ever will be? After all, am I not the Maker? Did I not form you in your mother's womb? Did I not bring you forth? Have I not been speaking into your life over and over and over again, telling you what I want to fulfill in your life? I'm well able to keep those that I call. And if I have called you, and I surely have called you, then I'm able to keep you. Do you know that you can live in the darkest, dingiest, gloomiest room with the enemy and still survive and come forth in my glory, rejoicing in me? Because the joy of the Lord is the wellspring of living waters down inside of you, and it will bubble up and it will overflow and it will drown out the darkness, drown out the gloominess, drown out all the sin that's around about you. But see, you don't trust me in that area either, and you're always complaining about, look at the darkness I have to live in. Amen. Why would I want to send you into the constant light? The light doesn't need you. The darkness needs you. They need your light. They need my power coming off of you. This is your assignment here on this earth, to dispel the darkness with your light. This is another problem. All light gathers together. And they just try to outshine one another. And that's not what I want you to do. I want you to take your light into a dark, dark world and dispel all darkness. Then and only then will even you be satisfied with life. Because then you'll have excitement. You'll have something to look forward to. And you will rejoice with the lost souls that you bring into my kingdom with your light that burns so brightly. If you've noticed, when you gather yourself the light starts a fight. All light tries to outshine the other light. But when you take your light to the darkness, the people rejoice because they never heard of the light. And they get excited and they want to hear more about my son. So don't ask me to take you into the house of God, because the house of God stinketh. Ask me to send you to the highways and to the byways. Ask me to allow your voice to be on the airways where the lost and the dying can hear it. Ask me for souls, and I will give you souls. Come away with me tonight, my beloveds. Let me put that bubble around about you, that canopy, whatever you want to call it. Let me place that around about you where the enemy's darts will no longer touch you. And your mind will be constantly free to hear and meditate on what thus saith the Father. The Father wants to speak volumes into your life. But the enemy's trying to keep you from hearing what I truly do say. I love you. I always nourish you. But there's times I have to stand by and weep because you have given into the power of the enemy. You've allowed his tools to have life, and you forget all about the well. Please, don't be arguing with the darkness. Please just come to the well and allow the well to bring life to the situations that seem so lifeless and so forlorn. I'm here tonight, and I really want to touch you. I want to bring you higher than you've ever gone before. I'm not wasting my time here. There's a plan and a purpose for all of this. My altar's open. I'm ready to place the bubble around you. And inside that bubble will be my glory. And it's going to be my glory inside that bubble that's going to allow you to go forth and not be destroyed by the enemy ever again.